We are honored today to have a guest speaker for our Mother's Day celebration and worship service. We've been enjoying already the things that have brought mothers to our minds and memories to our hearts. Our guest speaker today is Missy Buchanan, who has appeared on Good Morning America. She has written a number of books. You'll see a listing of those on page 3 of your worship bulletin. And she comes today sharing with us special memories, inspiration, and biblical encouragement for Mother's Day. Will you join me in welcoming Missy Buchanan?
Thank you. Thank you. It is such a joy to be with you, especially on this Mother's Day, and to hear the children and the beautiful choir. It's just a special, special day. I want to tell you a funny little story. My husband and I drove in yesterday from Rockwall, Texas, where we live, just east of Dallas. And we were going to stop in Abilene because we have a dear friend who moved there a few years ago from Rockwall to Abilene. And she's going to turn 98 years old next month, and she's quite a character. And she was telling us, as we were talking about, you know, long life and whatever, and she said, well, you know, my boys keep telling me the reason I'm still here is because God hasn't finished polishing off the rough spots. And so she's quite the character. And when she first decided that she was going to move from Rockwall, she had to choose between Longview, Texas, where one son lived, and Abilene, where the other. And so a lot of people in church really thought she was going to choose Longview because of the trees and whatever. And she said, oh, no, I'm going to Abilene because I like that daughter-in-law best. So there you go. On this Mother's Day, I would like to share a photo of my own mother, who passed away at age 92. And here she is as a young mother of three in 1952. I have a feeling you have photos like this tucked away, or you may have them prominently displayed in your home. Well, I'm the youngest of the three, and even then, my hair wouldn't do what I wanted it to do, as you can see. It had a mind of its own. But very special, special times. My parents married on Christmas Day in 1941. My mother had her bridal shower on the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. And I lived a very idyllic childhood, really, looking back and, you know, family vacations. And my grandparents lived with us. I thought everyone's grandparents lived with them. But let's fast forward to when my mother was 85. And this was at the Dallas Arboretum, and the best that I can remember, it was the last time that she was able to walk the entire loop that goes through the Dallas Arboretum. And you know, I got to thinking there were so many life experiences that had happened between those two photographs. Between when she was a young mother and so much ahead of her, and then late in life when things had begun to change. She had helped my dad build a very successful business, and she was one that was very active in PTA and you know, never missed a ball game, a sporting event, a drama, a music program. She was always there, always. And for 45 years, she taught in the children's department of her local United Methodist Church. And for a while was a church organist. And she was involved with our MYF. Back then, we didn't have the U in front. It was just MYF. And she would drive us to conferences or to church camp and all those things that mothers did. And I thought long and hard about all that she did on Sundays, you know, between Sunday school teaching, whatever. And then we would go home and we would have this fantastic lunch. And every Sunday it was either ham, roast beef, or fried chicken and all the fixings. And then there was a homemade chocolate or coconut pie. And I thought about all the birthdays that we had celebrated, how many birthday cakes she had made. I thought about graduations and Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, all the dishes she would have washed. And as she aged, there was less energy. And there was less excitement about living, to be honest. And I remember the day that I heard my mother say that it had been 6 months since her church had brought communion to her. And my heart broke. And that was really the inspiration for doing what I do, which is to write and speak about aging faithfully. Because I realized there were so many others that needed that word of encouragement. So I watched as my mother grew weary at the end of her life, and it made me think of an interesting story that Gary Runn, who's a leadership consultant, told. And he talked about a 10K that his daughter, his college-age daughter, wanted him to run. And he hadn't been, you know, he thought he was pretty physically fit and he could do it without training. Now, she had trained and all was good. And so they go on the day and there are the banners and there are the bands playing and the balloons are flying and you know, off they go. And he had already told his daughter, don't wait on me. You run your race. You know, I'll finish. And he said it wasn't too long before the crowds began to kind of thin out, you know. And runners kept passing him by. And he said, and then he realized that he was the only runner he could see. And the crowds weren't there. But he looked far in the distance at the next corner. And there was a group that had gathered. And they spied him. They saw him coming. And they began to cheer. And he said, we all need a little encouragement when we are running long distance and feeling depleted. And he said the most interesting thing was that as he got closer to those cheerleaders, we'll call them, that he would give them a thumbs up and they would begin to cheer louder. And as they began to cheer louder, he began to get excited. He was motivated and he kind of picked up his pace a little. He said it mattered to them to be noticed for what they were doing, just like it mattered to me to be noticed for what I was doing. It's what community is all about. We each run our own race, but we are called to be reciprocal encouragers. We are called to encourage one another, to encourage, to come alongside and pour courage and heart and energy into others. I love the Greek translation for encourage, because it gives us the image of coming alongside, of walking close beside. And I would add to that, pulling up a chair beside each other. And it goes beyond just flattery. There's nothing wrong with a good high five or you look great in that shirt. That's great. But this goes deeper than that. It's even more than being a cheerleader. Because it's very personal to come alongside someone else. And someone who poured their life into my life, and actually this came about after my own parents had passed away, was Lucy Mary Ann Roberts, the mother of Robin Roberts of Good Morning America. And who would have thought that one day I would get a phone call and that it began like this. Is this Missy Buchanan? Yes, it is. Is this Missy Buchanan who wrote Living with Purpose in a Worn Out Body? Yes, it is. And I'm thinking, who is this? And this sweet voice on the other end said, you probably don't know me. My name is Lucy Mary Ann Roberts, but you might know my daughter, Robin Roberts of Good Morning America. And even then, I'm thinking, is this for real? But it was. And in that first conversation, we talked about 30 minutes and very quickly discovered that we had things in common. Here she was, an African-American woman from Mississippi who was in her mid to late 80s at that point. And me, a gal from Texas, we had never met in person. And yet we had this bond, and she talked about that she had a church pew in her home. And I said, well, I have a church pew in my home. Mine came from a little antique store, and hers was salvaged from her small Presbyterian church in Bay St. Louis when Hurricane Katrina came through. And the water stains were still on it, and she did not want it to be refinished. And I found out that day that we both loved music of the church. That's what she would call it, music of the church. The old spirituals and hymns. And where I might know a verse or two by memory, she could quote them like poetry, 5 or 6 or 7 verses. And I was just amazed. Well, Robin found out about our friendship because what happened was that we would encourage one another. I would go to my mailbox and there would be a handwritten letter from Lucy Marianne. And I would send one back, or we would pick up the phone and call each other. And every phone conversation, every written letter that I have from Lucy Marianne ended like this: I love you. Now you keep writing for people, for old people like me, because we need you. Talk about encouragement. When there were days that I just felt like, you know, I don't need to be doing this, that voice was always in my head. Well, when Robin discovered this friendship that had gone on for 2 years, she called and asked if I would come and appear on Good Morning America because Lucy Marianne was going to be in New York and she wanted to meet me. How bizarre is that? And so I went to New York and we taped the piece, and there is Lucy Marianne reading passages from my book because she said it encouraged her. What a wonderful thing. And the funny thing was that when Robin found out that Lucy Marianne called, she was like, my mother doesn't even call me, you know? We had a good laugh about that. Robin always called her mother, though. And then Robin had always wanted her mother to write her memoir because she had lived such a fascinating, interesting life, growing up in a time of racial segregation. Her husband was one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. And their first assignment overseas was to Japan. And she said here she was, a girl that had grown up in Akron and had traveled very little, and all of a sudden she's in Japan, foreign language, foreign culture. And she said, but you know what was worse than that was that I was shunned by my peers in the military. The military families. They were the only African-American family on the base. And my heart broke as I heard that story. And I said, Lucy Marianne, what did you do? And she said, I went to the chapel. I went to the chapel because it was open 24/7, and I would slide onto that piano bench and I would begin to play the music of the church. She said, that's what got me through hard times. So when Robin wanted her mother to write her memoir, she told Robin, she said, I'll do it, but only if Missy writes it for me. Wow. So I was humbled that she trusted me with her life stories. And for several weeks, I would go to the Mississippi Gulf Coast and sit in her living room, and I always had my pad and paper, but in a tape recorder. But it was just more like two friends sitting and talking. And I would listen to the stories that she had to tell. And there would be days that she'd say, do you care if we go for a drive? I want to show you something. And she would show me places where the water had come up to during Hurricane Katrina, and about people that had died that she had known, or about their military experiences. Photo albums of family members and of people from her childhood, always centered around her church. And so the experience of writing my story, my song, was quite wonderful. And the book launched in April of 2012. And in August of 2012, Lucy Mary Ann died, just 4 months after that book came out. But I think of Lucy Mary Ann's life, as do I think about my mother's, as a gold thread. A gold thread rich with life experiences and color, vibrant and easily distinguished. Lucy Mary Ann chose to stitch into my life. She chose to be an encourager to me. And as she did, she made me stronger. As I witnessed her faith, it made me stronger. But the wonderful thing is about stitching into someone's life is that it leaves a trailing thread behind, a legacy of love. When Lucy Mary Ann passed away, my husband and I were invited to go to Past Christiane to attend her homegoing service. And it was a very small Presbyterian church, probably only held 100 people on a good day. And this particular day, there were probably 120 of us just packed in this small little Presbyterian church. And I remember sitting down, and my husband kind of nudged me because sitting a row or two in front of us were George Stephanopoulos and Diane Sawyer and Ben Sherwood, who's the head of ABC News. But I looked across the aisle, and I saw Lucy Marion's neighbors because I had met them. I saw people from the Boys and Girls Club because she still poured her heart and soul into that. And keep in mind, she could no longer drive. She was an inspiration. She was a gold thread. And so I challenge you this day to think about your gold thread. And if you're older, I ask you to think, will you invest in a younger person, whether they're middle-aged or a child? Will you invest in their lives by listening, by valuing their opinions without judgment, just grace? And if you are younger, will you ask an older person to share their life stories? Will you put down your cell phone long enough to look them in the eye and have conversation and not mock them and not make fun? For all of us, will you speak life, life-affirming words? Will you speak them in your home, in your car, in your workplace, in your school? What will you do to intentionally come alongside someone and pour courage and energy and enthusiasm and heart and joy into their lives? Because I promise you, there's someone that you know right this minute who needs to hear from you today and tomorrow and next week. And maybe it's a handwritten letter, not an email, but a handwritten letter that tells someone what impact they've had upon your life. Maybe it's a phone call. And best of all, maybe it's the gift of a visit, an unhurried time. Unhurried time, the best gift of all. So who needs laughter? Who needs a gift of laughter to lift their day? Who needs an ear to listen and to know that their experiences are valuable? I had a 99-year-old friend that said one day, she said, "Missy, you know how you're always talking about wisdom and how we older people have this wisdom?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Why doesn't anyone ever ask me for it?" Ouch. And I asked, believe me, I started asking. So whose life will you choose to stitch into? Whose life will you make more beautiful because you invested your time and energy into their life? Whose life will you make stronger because you chose to come alongside? On your little bookmark is scripture from Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so on this Mother's Day, I leave you with the image of the golden thread and the challenge, whose life will you stitch into? We celebrate today and we honor and remember all of those who have stitched beautiful threads of gold into our lives. To God be the glory.